is.
We've got the only one we're missing. Richard Berg has resigned for.
Did we send him something?
He sent me something. We can do something. Yeah, I don't know. Talk to Sandy. I don't know. And then James and Ruben are not here. Otherwise, everybody else is here. I haven't heard from either of them. Ruben's always here, so maybe something came up. Richard has resigned.
Does he love us anymore?
Okay, that's it. There's got no public comment.
Minutes are attached. You guys all have the minutes.
So I don't want to.
You could vote on Nicole because you can still vote on him even if you're not present.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't have to abstain. You can if you want to, but it doesn't matter.
Everybody good with minutes from last meeting?
Yep.
No objection.
Okay. Looks like what we talked about.
All right. Orange County Sheriff's Department report.
You want to vote on the minutes for the record?
I'll make a motion that they should be approved in there.
Verbal vote, yeah.
Okay.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Second.
Okay. Motion and a second. All in favor, they said aye. There we go.
Yeah.
Done.
Now we have the sheriff.
Okay, thank you. I have, most of you have seen this probably because all I have at this point is the December report that we did. So as you know, nationwide, everyone switched over from UCR to the NIBRS program through DOJ. So we're still in the process of getting all of our stats validated. So they're not letting us release stats at this point. So at some point in time, be able to provide those to you. So I have the December report, which I gave at the January City Council meeting. So just kind of high-level pass on this. If you look, property crimes, again, that's our big thing. The residential burglaries, we had a couple of those. We had another large one after this one in January. So that's our big focus right now. And some petty thefts. These are, again, kind of crimes of opportunity where you have a lady's purse stolen from her while she's shopping, situational awareness, that type of stuff. We talked about.
Was she close to the purse?
Yeah, it was in the cart, I believe.
Oh.
So.
Was it inside the store or out?
I'm not 100% sure if it was inside the store or not. So. But, again, just making ourselves aware of, how to cut down on being victimized. So we've been working with Steve and the city staff the end of last year to do crime prevention thing. So we'll follow up on that. We kind of got delayed. But other than that, I'll answer any questions on the crime information I provided at this point.
So the motorcycle, just so you know, there were 25 tickets issued in December, and it's a constant rate. We're getting about 25 to 30 a month. He's on for 8 hours a day, 8 hours a month, so if you figure 8 hours, so he's writing pretty regularly.
It's a respectable amount, given the time, given the amount of traffic,
we're getting
given,
phone calls
given the hazards.
I get phone calls like, I didn't know we had a motorcycle problem.
Yeah.
Well, I said we should be driving careful. You don't have to worry.
Exactly.
And by the way, that's what it's for.
Yeah. It's good deterrent.
It took us, with the promotion of Sergeant Merrill, who was doing it before, to the new sergeant who's doing it. There was a little bit of a transitional phase. He had some training to get caught up on, but now he's rolling. He's up to speed, and he's over here taking care of business. And we kind of shifted a couple different deputies over here that their focus is a little different, so they're writing more citations and they're a little more motivated to do that. So that's been helpful with them doing some more.
Are the accidents down?
I don't know on that. I don't have the traffic collision index at this point. Again, they're still working on all that stuff. However, the last year when I checked, we have so few collisions, it's like they have a really hard time even just doing stats on it because our numbers are really
low. We get them on Villa Park Road.
Yeah.
That's what we get. Those are people just flying through.
Mm-hmm. So once I can get that, I'll get that information, but generally it's, we're kind of a blip on
the other collisions we get are non-reportable. We find stop signs taken out.
Right.
People hit them on Taft, and
yeah.
we find a stop sign, but no car. And no.
Rolls home from the post.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and I have, you know, I do have, like, our traffic type numbers, if you want. I have a separate thing for that I can have you look at. We can want to transition into that. And, again, these are just kind of preliminary, but it gives you an idea where we're at as far as calls for service, drunk driving arrests, which we had 5 this year, which is...
This is 2022.
2022, yeah. So that was an increase over last year. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but it was just a couple.
I want to say 2 or 3.
2 or 3, yeah. So we moved that up. You know, traffic collisions.
New Year's Day, we always have one.
Yeah, yeah. We had some hit and run accidents. But if you look at the citations, you know, the enforcement has definitely been stepped up quite a bit, and I think that's, you know, making an impact. So, you know, you're hearing about it, and people are commenting about it. So, and that's mm-hmm. the whole purpose is to get people to drive safe and,
mm-hmm.
you know, carefully. So,
I have a question.
Sir.
A lot of this we as a committee or the you people can't do too much for the traffic issues. At least we can't at what am I here for? Sorry, I've had a long day. Neighborhood watch.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing fine. I'm going to have a report on it in a minute. But my question is, could we know if they left a garage door open? Were they accessed to cause that burglary caused by remiss action on the part of the property owner? Something, if just say, garage
sure.
door open, unlocked door, just that would help us press home the fact that don't blame anybody but yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's something we can research. I can have the analysts look at it and see. It's basically just a matter of combing through the reports and trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I would think that'd be the first thing you want to find out when you... After you've solved the scope of the issue,
what's one of the factors that we always, you know, record is what's the point of entry? You know,
yeah, please.
Is it the front door, a window, a back door, a garage door?
And we've got professionals climbing to the second story too, so that would help if they entered through a second story window, which was left ajar. Or
right. Well, that's kind of a regional issue, and I can get into that if you want. The sheriff was put out. Some information on that as far as what we're kind of doing and where we're at with it. Because it definitely, it's not just impacting Villa Park, it's impacting, you know, Orange County and really the entire Southern California region.
Well, I hear you and I agree. Incidentally, you did a great report last month, very thorough.
Find it.
Do they put on those stats, whether it's forced or not forced, like burglary forced?
I mean, we have access to it. We don't generally.
Yeah. I think you're wanting to do it because you want people to.
I'm trying to cause prevention. Yeah. That's about the only purpose we can do.
Well, I think regardless of how many people are leaving their window up and whatnot, you know, we still want to just reiterate that. Hey, it's important to keep your residence secure.
Well, we
right?
say that, but that's a general closing that people know we are going to say that. But if some, we can say some of the reason we got so many burglars here, notice that 3 of them were left garage door open.
Yeah.
Our car door was unlocked with things in it that were stolen. That sort of thing we should be helping you with. And I know,
we've tried, like you said, we've tried that for years.
Yeah.
And it's unique to Villa Park where really half of the stuff that happens wouldn't happen if the stuff was locked. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say it's unique to Villa Park.
It definitely
happens here. It happens in a lot of the other areas
you know
I
what?
Have.
I don't give a hoot whether it happens in other areas. I know Villa Park can do it better. And I don't care to be compared with them, because if we can't be better, then we don't deserve to be Villa Park.
All right.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Well, I can't know if I can help you.
That's what happens when you give them a little chocolate chip.
I know, man.
There.
It's like,
I
need to go back to work.
Thanks, Nicole.
Yay. A little sugar goes a long way.
As I said, it's been a long day.
Well, we'll see if we can get some of that, you know, like I alluded to the crime prevention meeting, you know, I'll see if we can get some of that information.
And if you can't, we'll also understand that, because you're still doing a better job than we could hire elsewhere. I don't know that we could afford you very much longer, but you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Said that sugar is going along.
I guess I should
not comment on that one.
Wow.
Wade's going to be negotiating for us.
We don't have any. I wouldn't talk like this if there was somebody outside the committee in the room, because I don't mean to be disrespectful.
You're not, sir.
Okay.
We understand.
All right, now you're up for Neighborhood Watch.
Oh, I'm out of breath. No, we have really, we have not much change in the count. We've added a few here and there where we run into people that haven't been receiving them and lived here all their. I was with one today, and he's an old friend. I said, for gosh sakes, you know, subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything. And the other thing we're pushing now is the scams and the. This is really. Really, some people just don't get it. They don't realize that person that's on the other line really is trying to help you save your nephew from death in India or something. So please send us $1,500. That still happens.
We have a lady that comes in and writes a check. She said, I wrote a check to somebody. I don't know if they're legit or not. She comes and asks the deputies, and I'm like, the deputy keeps saying, do not write a check. You can come see us or whatever. She does it every month. She comes in, it's sad. Yeah. It's sad. I mean,
give me your name. I could use $1,500 a month.
Well, she says, I don't know if they're legitimate or not. How do I check them? And the deputy says, don't write a check.
They're not legitimate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're trusting. She's trusting. So right. Knocks on the door.
Was it $15?
She didn't say. She doesn't say. But she writes a check every month. Oh, it's
sad. I think I know that lady. I think I know
her. You know her. I know her. She's the wife of a former mayor.
She needs to be in a providing assisted living place.
Yeah. She's got the deputy. That's another issue, but that's
yeah. Anyway, we're doing fine. Other than that, the promotion of Neighborhood Watch has been more or less officially covered now by this program that we're going to have in the 16th. The Sheriff's Department's kind of taken over the marketing of these services. We have not been asked to provide any booths or sign-ups, so we'll be a participant. That's about all I can say.
Are you guys right around 200?
212 the last count.
212, thank you.
But I don't know if that's true now. That was about an October number.
Plus or minus.
Everybody's moving out of California, right?
Mary's got all the stats. She can tell you in a second.
Okay.
I'm not
good
sure
deal.
If I've gotten one for a while.
Thank you.
I'm sorry?
The email. I'll have to look.
You did. Every time I send out the stats to Wayne, the next day I guarantee that after the council meeting, he sends them out to all the Neighborhood Watch people. Mm-hmm. If you're on the list, you probably see them all.
Yeah.
Because I know the ones that Captain just issued you.
We have added some from on the fringes of Orange, too.
Good. Great.
Good.
I welcome anybody that wants them. Somebody from
more the better.
Newport Beach wants them, they can have.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power.
All right, Wayne, you done?
I'm done.
All right.
Aren't you glad?
No, it was short and sweet. I liked it. license plate readers.
This is something.
Yes. Given the significant uptick in serious crime throughout Orange County, and in particular some of the high-end residential burglary thefts that we've had within a very short period of time, it has come to my attention through numerous neighbors, various concerned residents, and even some law enforcement professionals about the possibility of adding or the concern and the question and the ask of other investigative techniques, what resources we have, can we add more sheriff's deputies? Well, there are certain things we can do, there are certain things we financially can't do. One of the tools that I would like to explore, and I think it's beneficial to have our sheriff's department weigh in on the conversation, so it's not just from me and it's not just from people that speak to me, whether they're professionals or whether they're residents, is have them weigh on the costs, the feasibility, the benefits, any detractors, any privacy concerns residents have. I think it's good to have a public forum about that. I have used it personally, professionally, and there is minimal to no invasion of privacy as far as I'm concerned. But I think there are some significant investigative, tangible benefits, and I'd love to hear the committee on this. So, and obviously our captain.
Yeah, I would echo what you said, and they're incredibly valuable. I have a couple incidences here that are news releases that we actually put out. This one here was in, actually, this started in unincorporated area of Rossmore and on Mother's Day. And through utilizing a license plate reader, we were able to arrest four or five individuals, I can't remember now, five I think, that we know are responsible for well over 100 residential burglaries in LA, Orange County, San Bernardino, Riverside. These gentlemen they're professional burglars. That's what they do. They get up in the morning and they go break into people's houses. They'll do a half a dozen a day. And there are a lot of these individuals out there, and we, you know, eventually these folks probably would have got caught, but when, who knows? But we were able to fortunately utilize a LPR system to identify a vehicle the next day, and we were onto these folks, you know, immediately, and just, you know, take some time to put the whole case together, but eventually got them into custody. There's been numerous other incidents. We had an assault with a deadly weapon in Stanton that we were able to utilize the LPR cameras to identify the suspect vehicles, track them down, make the arrest. So they're super beneficial in that regards from an investigative standpoint. I know there's a lot of concern about the privacy issues. I'm not, you know, an expert at either one of these products. My recommendations, I've talked to Steve, is to contact the companies. They will come out and do a presentation and talk about their product. There's two main ones, Flock and Vigilant, which is a Motorola company, that are the two main companies that do it. They each have some different features, but it's very secure. Everything's cloud-based, and really what happens is whoever, you know, let's just say, for example, the city purchased cameras. The city owns the data, right? And then the city gives us authorization to view it and use it for investigative purposes, and it's kept in the cloud. And there's a retention schedule, depending on how long you want to have it saved and whatnot. You know, again, my recommendation is to look into it, have them come out and give you a presentation. You know, they'll do that free of charge. Some of the things that it'll do, obviously screenshots. These have pretty advanced artificial intelligence, so it's not just the license plate. They now have the ability that if you're looking for a blue Honda Civic with a damaged left rear bumper, they can put that in there, and if that car goes through, it'll capture it and it'll send an alert, right? So there's a couple different ways. The way they work is, you know, it's constantly reading vehicles, and then if we say we had something happen at 3 o'clock at the routes, we could say, hey, let's look at the camera from, you know, 2 to 4 and see what vehicles does our suspect vehicle go through. The other way is investigators can enter vehicles on like a hot sheet type thing. Like, hey, we're looking for, you know, a blue Honda Accord with silver rims and, you know, a white sticker in the rear window. And if that thing goes through, it sends them a message. Hey, this vehicle was seen here at this time. So they're super advantageous for us to help, you know, investigate crimes. You know, both these companies have data they put out there saying that it reduces crime. You know, I don't know. I don't know the nuts and bolts of their study to prove that one way or another. But I think with anything, if you have, you know, a level of security and there's you know, signage or whatever. This is, you know, this community is protected by video surveillance. I mean, that means a lot to some people. Some of these professional criminals are going to do it anyways, mm-hmm. but even if they do, then at least it gives us opportunity to have something to go on. So I have some information I can share with you guys. This is just what I got off the internet, both from Vigilant and Flock. And you can go and search. The Flock handout's really nice because it's actually like a PDF they had that has a bunch of frequently asked questions. I don't, you know, recommend one or the other. That's not my place, but they're both very beneficial. So I don't know if you have any specific questions.
I talked to Lake Forest is probably the one I talked to. They've implemented it. Stan's implemented it. Mm-hmm. Stan's comments to me, they're saying they find typically a lot of, they tend to be a repository of stolen cars in there, so stolen cars arrive in Stanton, so they've picked a lot of those up. So that's just a different demographic. Lake Forest demographic is more similar to ours. They're solid on them. They've implemented them. They gave me some cost estimates that were, you know, first year cost per camera is about $3,200 upwards, starting at 32 up. And their comment was you need to have signage, otherwise it's pointless. Because, you know, you have, right now they said people can be confused because we have sensors now they're going for on lights that are going to, you know, there used to be cuts in the road.
Yeah.
Now they have light cameras. They've gone away from that. So people don't know what's camered and what's not. So you really have to do that kind of thing, they said, to make a difference. Otherwise people just, you know, it doesn't make a difference. But they are, they're supportive of it. They spend about $3,200 initially, and then you're going to spend about $3,000 a year per camera for ongoing maintenance and ongoing. They charge you for retention and viewing fee, so they, you know, they get, that's how they make their money, obviously, per camera. So, you know,
which potentially is they not have high for they have Flock, a viewing fee.
They have Flock. So if you were to put, you know, I don't know how many. You have a lot of exits and entrances in Villa Park.
Yeah, don't know how many exactly.
If I figured just on a rough estimate, 4 to 6 would probably cover our city.
Yeah.
You're looking at
the main portion,
you know,
yeah.
Versus say trying to add another deputy or more overtime bodies. I did a cost independent, you know, my own mind cost benefit analysis. It's obviously much less expensive and
much less expensive than 5 or 6 years ago when we were going to.
Absolutely.
And one of the things, well, the costs, because of the demand and the technology, the difficulty in getting computers and things like now, the costs are going up, just FYI.
Right.
They're way down from when we first
started. Yeah, it was 25 grand.
The concern,
4 years ago.
Several years ago, the city had a lot of, had this discussion, and there was input negative toward it.
Yeah.
So there was some public, so I just throw that out there. People need to.
Yeah.
I was going to say that's,
There's a. And at the time, I was not here at the time, but many of you were here and heard it.
It was real.
Yeah, they were really worried about the confidentiality, and
I don't know the answer to that about the confidentiality. Even if it's confidential, I don't know.
I do think we need them to come out, like you said, and let them discuss. And anyone wants to come, make it. You know, you got to put it out there, right, for everybody.
Agreed.
But you know, at the end of the day, I use this quite a bit. Not either of these two systems. It's more of an in-house type. You know, where it's covered all over. And I do have one question. Does the license plate get fed into the database for everyone to use, every county?
It depends on how you set up your sharing.
Right.
So it can be done differently. So for us, with all of our contract cities, you know, so Laguna Niguel has cameras. Well, they've authorized it to be shared with all sheriffs.
At Lake Forest.
Right. Mm-hmm. Lake Forest started it. They're kind of the front runner for us. As far as you know, so then, you know, they share it with whatever. So with all the deputies down, regardless what city you're working. So, you know, if the neighboring cities have it, it's just a request. From our end, we send a request to, say, Orange Police Department, hey, we'd like to have access to these cameras. Mm-hmm. They're the ones that approve it and send it to the company, Flock or Vigilant, and then you're granted access that way.
And as I understand it, they hold the data.
Right.
We don't hold the data. The sheriff doesn't hold the data. So we don't have access to and control of it by contractual rights.
Right.
But that's the one worry that Lake Forest has is always the data.
The data and the retention of it.
Retention in the data, and then, you know, if there's somebody that ever gets into that or whatever. That's the Lake Forest worry that I've expressed.
And I think that, that was the worry, back then, but I don't know how many people have used it. I used it quite a bit. You can't do anything with the information. The information's only good if it's, if it's a crime. You're looking at a small box. Sometimes they're going, you can get faces, but that's generally a red light camera, which I don't know. This system doesn't sound like it patches into all of that, which is odd, because I can guarantee you how many people are coming from LA County that are doing these. I'm sure in your areas too. So they don't communicate at all.
As far as
the information,
it's not universally shared. It's authorized.
No, it's just it's case. Yeah. So one of the things that that the Sheriff's Department has been doing is we're in the process of setting up this the real time operations center.
Oh yeah, the
real time
crime.
Some places are called real time crime centers, real time operations. So basically, that would be something that the Sheriff's Department would take lead on, and other agencies could have staff there, and then from there, if there's an incident, the analysts there have access to basically all the, they can have access to all the cameras, countywide.
So the city managers have talked about this, and they, anytime you get them, they want to have like the 800 megahertz committees and their, the joint powers administrative authority type
Right, right.
Because that's, the sharing of data is their big concern.
Right.
Huge concern.
Sure.
And also, Flock and this other company are playing one off another cost-wise. So if it was one entity buying it for a lot of cities, it makes a lot of difference cost-wise. Yeah. They become a substantial customer as opposed to, if we're buying six, where Lake Forest, six is not even a starting order for them. They're like, 10 times our size in numbers they buy. So they, their thought is, in some of the cities want it.
So
sheriff cities.
I personally don't understand the privacy concern. It makes no sense to me. I mean, just to be honest with you, the way that I've used it, the way that I've seen it, and I've seen both Flock and Vigilant, you're not getting a home address.
Yeah, you're not.
You're not getting the name of the person. You're getting a license plate and a vehicle.
Anyone can get on any car, anywhere, at any time.
That plate right there that I can see, that's what you get. And it's not even that clear. It's pixelated.
But I think the biggest problem is the explanation to the people that are going to be living with a camera, if that's what gets chosen to do.
Right.
So that's it, is explaining it. And that's the difficult thing in Villa Park all the time.
Yeah.
Is explaining, explaining that, hey, we don't have a huge crime problem. The Sheriff's Department has handled it, where you get the small complaints or...
Well, as I recall, when we had this discussion the last time, it was the only two things I heard was that I don't want people knowing when I'm coming and going.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Not that anybody's going to be able to access anyway. The other comment was, I can go to this person over here and they'll pull the data down because they have access to the database around the proper system.
Well, I think that was probably one of the initial kind of issues with the system, because you had homeowners associations and private groups that were, buying for their community. So then you had, a private individual who had access to it. So yeah, that's always a possibility, and who they're sharing it with. So I suppose that's probably always a concern.
So the Lake Forest, the city manager just said, the residents need to understand it doesn't stop the crime from potentially happening.
Not at
it
all.
Stops, it creates a quicker resolution.
Yeah,
right.
They solve them quicker.
Well, and it also creates people going, I don't know if I'm going to go to Villa Park. They got all this.
Sign, that's why they say you have to have
A couple of people get arrested anywhere around here, and then the word travels fast.
Yeah, it's a deterrent, and it's an investigative tool that has proven huge dividends in my personal experience, both on patrol as well as on the investigation side. I personally don't want people to know my business when I come and go, because I'm a law enforcement officer. And there's obviously people out there who may or may not have spent some time in prison that might want to do ill will to my family. But at the same time, I weigh that as obviously a public official and as a law enforcement officer and as a parent, as a husband. And I still feel that there is significant value in this, both personally, professionally, and politically for our city, especially considering the cost versus what it used to be. It's not inconsequential. It's not insignificant given the size of our budget, but it is an inexpensive tool, relatively speaking, given what it possibly could return with an $86,000 burglary, a near $200,000 burglary.
Well, you're signed. They sign you long-term leases.
Yeah.
They do not get you in short-term.
No.
Yeah. They're business people. They don't.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, just the ability to be able to, if you've got somebody that you need to find, the ability to know when and where people were somewhere, and be able to tie that all together. Right.
So absolutely.
That's huge. And we know that, you know, people are driving around, looking at houses, doing this stuff, just constantly going by 10, 12, 20 times, scoping out neighborhoods, looking for the right opportunity.
Mm-hmm. But it goes way beyond that, you know. Sometimes we're looking for some bad folks, and it is really easy with that.
And they can be driving their sister's car one day, their mom's car the next day, and then the day they do the burglary, it's a stolen vehicle. But they were dumb enough to drive the sister's car or the mom's car, and that gives us the address. And that's the key thing. So it's,
well, and you look at the Moscow, Idaho murders, the four stabbings, they tracked the car. They saw the car went by four times that day before the murders. And then it came back by several hours after, and they tracked how much it was in the area the weeks and months prior to. I mean, there was a pattern there that was irrefutable.
Yeah. Well, and that's through using, like, the hot sheet info. They had the vehicle description, so they're able to put it in, and then so then it shows up on every camera it passes after the, so you could get a route and everything. I think the one thing too to think about as far as, like, the, you know, the whole privacy concern, which I think everyone recognizes that, I also think that our people are a little more accustomed to cameras, right? Most people, or a lot of people, have Ring cameras or some type of surveillance camera, in-car cameras. We've kind of gotten used to it, and I know from, you know, responding to incidents, or my investigators responding to incidents, they have an incident at, you know, 123 Elm Street, and they'll hit, go walk and hit eight houses on there, and they'll have the whole thing on six different camera angles from all the door cameras and stuff. So we're being recorded all over the place all the time, you know, at this point. It's just kind of our modern, you know, technology in the world we have. So
if you guys, I mean, because kind of sounds like we should explore it, I can easily meet with them and talk to them and get some, come back with a full report on it, and, you know, get them to come present what they need to present, and you guys can ask your questions and do it. I think it's a good group here to have them talk to, or you talk to them.
Yep.
So, you know, because there are going to be questions. I think there are going to be community concerns.
Well, that's the point of having a very transparent, open discussion. That's why when I asked for this to be agendized, I don't just want this to be at this committee. I want this to be discussed with each council member privately so that they can really hammer them home if they don't want to put something out in, say, publicly, so they can have as much of an opportunity to vet it, because realistically, when this goes before the council, and I hope it will at some point in time, you know, there's going to be a lot of people in attendance, and we should have really eyes wide open look at this, and hopefully a 5-0 vote. I would love to hear what your perspective is on this.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in just from a resident, you know, perspective, you know, because I remember, you know, 7 years ago when we went through this, and I think times have changed, you know, a little bit. People were concerned about the tracking. Now everyone's carrying something in their pocket that could track them at any time. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were at the rental house in Orange when we were remodeling our home, I had law enforcement come to our door twice because they saw our cameras outside. Mm-hmm. So, you know, cameras are constantly picking up what we're doing, so I think the environment is a little different, but I do think the resident education piece is really going to be big. And
that's the challenge.
Yeah, and to that point, I think, like, the story that you just told, you know, I'm a law enforcement officer, I don't want people tracking me. You know, I feel confident in the system would be a great testimonial if, you know, we found a system that you were comfortable with. You know, I think, you know, stories like that, I think, would be extremely helpful, as well as placing in context for the residents kind of our evolving surveillance state, if you will. I mean, you know, the phones are the biggest danger, you know.
Without a doubt.
So.
Yeah.
This is tracking much more of everything that we do.
Oh, everything.
Especially if you're on TikTok.
Right, yeah, and one of the thing with one of the things with these systems is that if I want to go do a search for any for a vehicle, or I have to put in, you know, same thing with like our all our law enforcement databases. You got to put in your case number, like your investigative reason. I can't just go in and start searching around. Oh, let me see how many blondes drove through this intersection, right? I can't do that. I have to have a case reference to come back to because there's an audit component. There's regulation on these. Same thing as with the state, you know, law enforcement databases that they'll random audit you and they'll send you a thing that says, "Hello, Deputy So and So. On this day, you did a records check for so and so. Please explain why you did this." Yeah. And if you don't, there's repercussions if you don't have a lawful reason to do it. So there is that kind of checks and balances too, and that's something that can be, you know, discussed at the meeting.
Well, and I'd actually feel better if this was run by law enforcement, you know, because we don't know who Flock is. We don't know who Vigilant, you know, we don't know those people. You know, it's more the third party thing that gives me a little bit of hesitation. But yeah, I think as long as we get the presentations.
They control the licensure. So they have Flock and Vigilant have the whatever you call it, copy rights to the whole application. Mm-hmm. So they will not give it up. They sign confidentiality agreements and all that stuff, which is by law enforceable, so they don't want to mess with that.
Yeah. I'm more concerned about the hackable aspect of their operations, you know.
There are other systems, though.
The only two that I'm aware of, candidly, are Flock and Vigilant.
And that's all I've heard about.
Statewide, the super whiz-bang crew that we have with the Highway Patrol that has access, allegedly, to more...
But you wouldn't be able to have... They don't have access to Orange County stuff. It's basically
They do.
Oh, they do have
Vigilant.
Access.
They have excellent Vigilant.
Okay.
Locally, I have access to Flock, so therefore they have excellent to both Flock and Vigilant. But I'm in a very unique situation. But from a state perspective, they have access up and down the state. They have largest database.
I have access to everywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how...
Well, there's different levels of access, too. So
correct.
For... Our patrol deputies, they have a lot lower level. They don't get to put in hot sheet information. They're basically just getting alerts. Driving along, bing, hey, a stolen car just went by, right? Or if a kidnapping occurred and we want to push out the vehicle information, right? And then they can do an alert that way. And if, hey, this kidnapping occurred and the vehicle was seen at this intersection, you know, 5 minutes ago. Oh, yeah, I'm right here. I better start looking for
all
this car.
All of California is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All up and down California.
Right, yeah.
Okay, someone said it at the beginning that it's only Orange County, and I'm like, oh, well, that doesn't matter.
There are layers of security built into it. So, say, deputy or officer, state trooper, patrol officer, whatever you want to call them, may have access to this much, and then those that have graduated to a larger league, you know, promoted and what have you, have access to much more. So there are some significant checks and balances within the system. As far as the IT piece and hacking, that's really best asked of them. I can't speak intelligently about that. I would have a feeling it's probably fairly robust. But again, even if they were to hack it, they're going to get photos of cars and plates. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are pixelated. A lot of them are low light. Honestly, the best thing to do is for them to have a demo so you all can see how not invasive it is. Mm-hmm. And then you can have an intelligent...
Then you can't do anything with information. Like,
right.
Like you said, then we go into a whole different computer system that nobody gets, except for maybe DMV.
So, yeah, the Flock and the Vigilant, they don't hold any personal identifying information, no PII. It's just like Ms. Rossini said. It's a license plate vehicle, and then if I want to know who this vehicle belongs to the license plate, I have to go to the state system, elite, put in there, you know, the license plate, and then it's going to tell me who it's registered to. So it's a completely separate system.
That would be an excellent point to bring
guys,
up.
Guys, we've been on this subject now for 20 minutes. We know that it works, and it's working off professionally.
You got a date, Wayne?
Our venue is the city of Villa Park.
Yeah.
The last time we did this, Jay brought it up, and we had actually a demonstration that she brought forth. That was 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 7.
Yeah, a long time ago. First year, I think.
Okay, and it was new, but the problem was we got a real strong rebuff from the community. Now, what you guys have talked about here, and I admit I know little about it, is not going to be saleable to the citizens because they aren't going to listen down. They're not going to listen to you. And the issue is, how do we practically apply this in Villa Park? And my thought is, since it seems to have its value when multiple cities work together, or county works together on it, it seems to me it's a service that should be done at the county level to get mass application of scale, to cut the cost per capita down to where little cities could afford to adopt into the service on a pro rata basis like we do on other services. But for a given city to take it on as a contract, I just came from a property that has 39 cameras on the property, external cameras, it's a gated community. Well, obviously, at this cost we're talking about, 6 probably would do a pretty good job here. And they also read a little more accurately, I think, now than they did 7 years ago, too. Mm-hmm. But communicating it. The last time we got it, we got a lot of kickback from Neighborhood Watch people saying, look, I don't want people to know what I'm up to in Villa Park.
Yeah, but that's not how the system works, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way. And that's what would be explained,
but that's
by the rep. In the other, I can tell you that I've heard that the county's not going to invest in this at this point. I referenced this case in Rossmore that we arrested these folks. We have access to Seal Beach has Vigilant, and Los Alamitos has Flock. We got the vehicle coming in on the Vigilant camera from Seal
wonderful.
Beach and leaving on Flock. So I think as far as getting folks to realize the value in it, I can get a whole bunch of these stories because we're using it every day to solve crimes and say, look, hey, okay. On this day, this happened. Yeah. And within, 2 hours, we identified and apprehended the suspects. And that would not have happened without these LPRs.
And the city itself is contributing to him, to whatever agency is investigating, by using the cameras that they have. If they're going down Cotello, if they're going down Wanted, and they're using that as they're leaving Anaheim and going down there, then we're contributing
I've heard enough from you guys to know it's really valuable. It's something that could help the community and many others. And we would be a team effort, and we should do that. It makes sense. Mm. But I'm saying, okay, guys, who's going to sell it to this group of people, a third of which are self-employed, saying, I don't want people to know what I'm doing.
Is it possible maybe to get the city managers from the cities that use these systems already to tell us
how they did it?
This is the community reaction to this. These are the challenges. This is how it's going now.
One of the first things that was out of her mouth was, this does not stop crime.
Right.
Yes. It helps solve crime.
Right. Exactly.
And that is a non-big sell point with some residents who say, wait a minute, my house is still going to get burglarized. That's a thing.
But word has to get out.
It can stop crime if you have some serial burglars out there and you're getting license plates and then you see them in our area. And we know that they're working our city, and then they can...
You're going undetected for months, just ripping everybody off.
The other thing that they're going to say is, and I'm just talking to city managers...
We're practical on the ground.
Talking to city managers is Villa Park has a lower crime rate than those cities that do have the system.
Yep.
Right.
And it's true.
Right. And
so you got to sort of say, what do you do? Why, you got 4 or 5 burglaries a month or year or whatever the numbers. I don't know what the numbers are, I think it was 4 in December.
Yeah.
And so they're just going to say, you guys have a better crime rate to start with, so maybe you reduce it. You're not going to eliminate it, but you're going to. But they just said, you have a better crime rate, and we have the system.
Yeah.
But it's lowered their crime rate in the big picture. So there is no city that I know of that I've talked to that has the same demographic that us. Many of them, like Stanton, is a different ballgame. Mm-hmm. Lake Forest has a different ballgame demographically. Mm-hmm. Some of the cities won't touch it for the same privacy reasons.
Rossmore has it?
No.
That's unincorporated county, so they don't really have a choice if you guys want.
They're thinking about it. Their board, their community services district is entertaining the thought of getting
well. The cities are supportive, but it's kind of a mixed reaction about what the city managers are saying. They're not like all uniform, let's jump in. They're getting used to let's paying for body-worn cameras. Which we're paying for. So there's other issues.
There's definitely a cost associated, and you have to balance those things out.
And us having 6 is like, 6 is like one road in some of these cities.
Yeah. Yes. And when let's say Orange is looking for somebody and they go into Vigilant and they use the Vigilant camera from that city of Bill Park, Orange pays for the access.
I don't know how that works.
We may pay for it.
I don't know.
We may pay
for it. I don't know how that works.
I know, but
if
I
have access privileges, but
I think the access is kind of, I don't think it's an individual time you're accessing. I think it's like a flat rate. Hey, you can access to the data.
We contract for a certain level of access, and that doesn't matter who uses it. We authorize Orange to use it or whatever, but it's within our contract.
Interesting.
And the other thing too to, you know, to think about with these is, this is a, it's a buildable system. You can start with one. You can start with two. You can add some more. You know, hey, this is working. People like it. You get some success stories. And then, I think also, like we're trying to do with, in what we've done in some of the other cities, but what we're trying to do with the Rossmore keys, we're trying to leverage the other agencies. Hey, where do you have your cameras? Oh, you have some here? We're going to put one here. So now we're working collaboratively to help each other out.
Yeah.
And Villa Park is unique because you're in the middle of another city.
I would think that, you know, if Orange is not in some way involved, you lose a lot once they leave Villa Park.
Yeah.
Because there's so many exit points that all go into Villa
Orange.
Is Orange
involved?
I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. Orange, they've got a new. I could talk to them.
I'm not sure. Things to think about though: toll roads,
right?
Caltrans cameras, which are hit and miss, and the possibility of other pole cameras that we're not aware of, up and down the freeway that I might be aware of.
Can we get some education on this subject with the next week at the?
Well, I don't think we're going to be ready next week
No, we're not.
I don't think so, because there's a lot of discussions I think that have to happen, and I don't think you want to take a misstep and misrep. I think you want to have it all figured out before you go out.
Unless you had one official that had a booth or something that could explain cameras, security cameras within the city.
I think what they're talking about is the town hall is in here. They're not talking about booths and things. They're talking about techniques and things. So they're not really talking about the fair, the home security fair that you're thinking of.
And their agenda's already been set. So.
Yeah, this is their crime prevention specialist who come in and say, this is what you need to do to protect your homes. This is how you should do and what you, kind of things you should do.
So as far as next steps, unless I'm mistaken, is it, Eric, your understanding and the committee's understanding that it will that the two vendors should come back to this committee, and then once everybody's hopefully on the same page here or ask whatever questions they have, then reach out to the individual council members, and then between, say, the committee meeting date and the next council meeting, vet it and then have them appear at that council meeting for a public comment, public dialogue, discussion, and then an eventual vote.
Could we do like maybe a resident survey or like a town hall or something ahead of the vote to kind of give that education piece and maybe get some concerns so that when the company gives their presentation, those concerns could be addressed?
I think that might be kicking the can too far down the road. I think that by putting this out here within this committee and then obviously reaching out to the individual council members who all have social media net, you know, groups that they influence, and you know, whether it's Rotary or the Women's Club or, you know, the Home and School League, PFSO, the coffee group over here.
Explanation, you're not giving it a chance.
I don't think.
So, if you were to just say, "Hey, what do you guys think about cameras?" and not give any explanation, you wouldn't be.
Well, I think you could do it after, if the committees and everyone's supportive down the road. You could do it as part of the education process.
But,
but you would have to get it out there a little bit before you just.
Could do like a town hall meeting and then follow up with a survey as far as concerns.
I'm just surveys are very expensive, potentially, depending on how you do it. And you're talking about pushing this out months and months and months. I don't think that's in our best interests, candidly. I think that, I think we need to do our due diligence, get the message out there, but there's going to be some things lost too. And if we continue to have town hall for every single thing that we have, I mean, there's going to be some things that are lost. I mean, I think we had an effective town hall, which unfortunately I couldn't be at for the new trash collection recycling, which I think was beneficial. It's going to add to costs. It's a new state law. if you want to complain, go complain to Sacramento, that kind of thing. But I think we're going to have a crime prevention town hall here. If we have a town hall just about LPRs, I'm not sure you're going to get much of a reception.
I think, just don't want to run into what we did 7 years ago. A lot of people were very concerned.
Right. But we didn't have all the answers.
We had an adversarial council, too.
I remember it that it was people upset about it. There was more money.
There were a couple of people.
There were only a couple people that were fired up.
It was way more money then.
Yeah.
It was
and there were a couple of people that were incredibly fired up.
There was a lot of concern about privacy.
Very few people had any objection to all they had was questions. I remember it was more money.
Why don't we kind of pursue the due diligence element first and figure out the questions we have, and then we kind of move on. Like Vince said, let's do that and let's get it moving and get the company questions asked. So, you know, if you guys aren't comfortable with it, it's not going forward anyway, right? I mean, so that's the bottom line.
So let's get the
due diligence going now and keep it moving.
That's a good idea.
And then we can kind of then, that you can decide how the public education process goes after the fact.
But if council members, no, they're not.
If council members, like he says, you got strong opposition from council members, then, you know, you kind of met your message anyway.
Right. That was back then. I think you're right. It's more,
so let's, it was let's do more that. Money. Let's, it was not let, more people.
I mean, let's be honest here.
Seven years ago,
we had a very adversarial
council.
Mm-hmm. Let's not sugarcoat it. And anything that came out of this committee was going to be scrutinized, even if you're giving people $100 bills. It did not matter. I mean, let's just be honest.
Well, didn't they want to disband us?
Yes,
yeah,
they did.
Yeah.
And and then, so you had that.
Go ahead.
Then you had a fairly enormous cost.
Yeah.
There was a small element that had privacy concerns, but not wanted, they didn't necessarily want to kill the program.
No, they just had concerns. Yeah.
So
it was money that killed it.
Yes, it was money that really killed the deal.
It was much more expensive than that.
I think we do our due diligence. And take it one step at a time, and I think everything is going to fall in place as we move along.
You just got to explain, you know, even if they did see the information on your license plate, they can't do anything with that.
Right.
To get into a license plate, there's only a few agencies that are allowed to go in and find you on a license plate.
I can't believe that.
And by the way, we get in a lot of trouble if we don't do it.
It's a misdemeanor for every violation.
I can't believe the opposition expressed by what you're saying hasn't been experienced elsewhere. These companies probably have dealt with.
Right. Yes.
The opposition. So those are questions. Like, how do you deal with opposition? How do you sell it to the community? Those are questions usually asked.
I think the IT is a great question. Mm-hmm. What kind of vulnerability backstops do you have? What kind of AI? And what are your protections to keep that information, keep that data secure? I think it's a great point, and I encourage you to raise that.
Yeah, what kills this will be is if all you guys don't agree, and then that's done deal. Yeah,
right.
Move on to the next thing.
I think you're right.
The security aspect, I think, is going to be the biggest point. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes up again and says, "Oh, I can go down to Frank over here, and he'll pull the data for me, you know, for $50 because he has access," that's the problem.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. So that's where these companies will come in
and explain to us
who has access. Can somebody, you know, bootleg some data out of there if they wanted?
Right.
You know, what safeguards you have in place. And I think once we've answered all these questions to our satisfaction, I think we'll have a much better idea of how to proceed.
You've all probably gotten letters from your health insurance company or from the state bar association that's issued private numbers of people at health. You know, we have to be cognizant and ask those tough questions, but I think there are answers.
Yeah.
I think there are answers, but let's pursue
those. Citibank gave all my information to the dark web, so, I mean, that's a lot more than I care about on my license.
Yeah, and again, the key thing with this as far as information to your question, there's no personal identifying information there. It's just a vehicle. It's a vehicle picture. So unless I know it's your car, I don't know. But that's a great point.
Before, it was called a virtual gate. And I think that rubbed people the wrong way. Like, they felt like they were going to be recorded coming and going.
And that's right.
With it tagged to them. So I think if we can kind of avoid that term, too, I think that would be helpful.
Well, hopefully they have learned from that mistake. If that's the company that marketed that way, that's I don't think, accurate, and just a really bad message to send. So
yeah, that was the marketing.
You know, I've talked to both, you know, reps from a couple different companies, and they're very well spoken and can present.
They don't want somebody.
You know, and that's the way to go. Let them talk about it.
Yeah, agreed, agreed.
It must be boring.
They can know that I'm going to Target. That's fine.
Because I can talk cop to cop, but it's a whole different thing getting John Hughes Citizen to buy into everything that I'm saying without the benefit and presence of seeing the same thing that I've seen on my screens. You know, because they're thinking, oh, there's going to see John Q. Smith that lives off 123 North Main Street, not that we have a Main Street.
Well, the problem is they're going to see me and my girlfriend in the car.
And that too. And that
which
too.
Which is not the case.
Which, and that's the other thing. And if somebody is involved in that kind of relationship, you're not going to necessarily, you're not going to see the facial feature.
It's not that good.
It's
not that good. And it's not even going after that. It's going after one thing only.
Right.
All right, let's move it on. We know where we're going there.
Okay.
To SB 44, fentanyl.
So this was brought up, this was raised by a number of councils. On the 28th of February, the city council will be taking action to support SB 44.
Yep, thank God.
And there, it's on the council. I mean, I'm presuming it's on the vote will be, do they take support or not, but based on talking to them, I'm assuming it's going to be pretty much a 5-0 vote. However, I just wanted you guys to be aware of it. This is a fact sheet that was provided by Tom Umberg, one of the sponsors. I didn't pick Tom Umberg. The only reason I picked it is because his name pops up first when you pick up SB 44. Basically, those of you know it, it is basically goes after the fentanyl dealers. Allows them to be prosecuted, and the district attorney and the sheriff both recommended, and the county took a position of support. And all this would be would take a support position for the city. But I'm just sharing that with you because fentanyl is a big issue in the schools. It's a big issue in crime, and I just want to share this with you because the council will take action in case you get asked. This is something you should know, and it's universally supported across the aisle. There's it's not like one side or the other is supporting or not supporting this. Is basically going after the dealers to get them to make it prosecutable, I guess, is what the best way to say it.
Yeah, so just, this is literally what I do all day. It's really quick. The state doesn't have a good path of taking care of this specific crime of a dealer knowingly giving fentanyl, which is a little bit difficult to prove. Unless they get in the middle, then the state will take it. Otherwise, the feds do it, which I do both jobs. So that's where now the Fed will do it, but then they have sticking points where they won't take it either. If it is not 100% locked down every part of the case, they won't take it. So really what they're trying to do is create a path to basically prosecute for fentanyl. I have not seen SB 44 before, though. So I haven't read the whole thing, but
this is the new piece that I know.
Yeah,
that
this is new. We've done this. We've done this in some of our narcotics investigations, where if they arrest someone for, you know, possession to distribute fentanyl, they'll give them an admonishment and serve them. Basically, it's serve knows, hey, you're hereby admonished that providing fentanyl could be deadly, and if you provide someone fentanyl and they overdose and die, you could be arrested because you're on notice. It's very similar to like we saw with the DUI thing, right?
Watch,
you get a DUI, right? You're notified in court that if you go out and are driving drunk again, you get an accident and kill someone, you could be tried for murder, right? So that's what this is for. So we've been doing that, and with the DA's office, been doing some prosecutions on it already. So if you look at the numbers, the sheriff wrote a memo to Senator Umberg and talked about, you know, we had 239 fentanyl-related deaths in 2016. In 2021, it increased by 2,294% to 5,722 deaths. So that's massive. Yeah, and it's getting larger and larger. And the way they market it towards the kids is what's, you know, awful. The most troubling part.
Well, the scary thing to me is we had South Narcotics come and talk to us last night, and it was amazingly informative. And they've got new strains of fentanyl now that are so much more powerful than even the car fentanyl. Mm-hmm. and the naloxone doesn't work on it anymore. Mm-hmm. The way they're engineering it, the receptors, the opioid receptors, are saying, no, we want the fentanyl instead. And they said at the doses, at the toxicity of this stuff, you just die. It's all there is. It's not like you even have a chance.
Well, and that's why with you know, our department and the DAs that we investigate it as a homicide. It's not an overdose. It's, you know, you intentionally provide it. You poison someone.
Yep. Are they doing that once they have information that they have a suspect, or they,
yeah,
or they're doing it only after, right?
Afterwards, yeah.
So.
Can they?
Because
do it?
The big problem is the state of California. You can't unless you get a middle, which is going to be now that admonishment. So mm-hmm. Basically, you're going to get caught twice. You got to get caught twice.
Can't you? Yeah. If you're just caught in possession of this poison, could you not be taken in simply because you have it in your possession?
No, you'd get a citation in the state of California.
Heroin.
So somebody else can die.
Proposition 47, Proposition 57.
Yeah. You can thank the state of California for those.
Yes.
Yeah, the deputies will actually tell you, several have told me that if they arrest or try to do something, those guys will pack out in the streets before they finish the paperwork.
Without a doubt.
It is basically marijuana again. I mean, just a little touch of bug, but basically marijuana.
Not much.
LA County doesn't book them at all. Yeah. We can't even do it. You couldn't even do it if you wanted to. No.
God help us.
Oh, yeah. It's, no.
So just FYI, that's on the agenda for the 28th. That's a support. And I would encourage you guys to speak up, but given the opportunity to present it.
Will do. It's something that I know.
I'm kind of bashful.
Councilwoman Miles and myself had talked about crafting possibly some sort of legislation. We'd spoken with Eric, and then I know that Councilwoman Jones had concerns about this in the schools with all her involvement, and I really appreciate that. So I think you've got the three of us that are going to look at this really, really closely, and more than likely, not speaking for anybody else here, but assuming it is what it is, vote for it, and hopefully all five of us do. And certainly it sounds like it has the support of people that are very influential law enforcement executives within Orange County, including our DA and sheriff, and that's huge. So I thank you.
I will see that on the 28th, but if anyone wants to comment, they can obviously comment.
Well, thanks for alerting us, Steve. That helps to know on things like this where we get community input. Communication on stuff sometimes doesn't happen until after the fact. And knowing in advance, people think about it. Okay. And I appreciate that. It's just like this radio or camera thing. They know we're working on it. You'll start getting some input.
The crime prevention is something that we actually tried to do in December, but just because of the holidays, it got, everything got messy. We're the crime prevention specialist, and it's really to try and alert the residents, because I've got a lot of people saying, well, what can we do to reduce crime in our own areas, et cetera. And this is more for the residents to come sit down and talk to people who know what they're talking about and can tell. So the sheriff's crime prevention specialist will be here. It's a sit down in here meeting type of thing. It's a question and answer. It's a here are practical things you should do or whatever. It is amazing what people come in and say, oh, I just lost my, I left my wallet, my purse in my car. I came back and my purse wasn't there. I mean, you hear that. We hear it all the time. Is there a deputy here I can report it to? Yeah, well, yes, there's not much a deputy's going to do right now, but yes. But that's we get that a lot. So there's a lot of education that's going to just, it's an education, it's an outreach. Mm-hmm. I know that.
Deputies will come out and say, take the report.
Yeah, they will. But you, I know that you had talked about, let's getting some more education out there and do it. So we're trying to do that kind of thing. And this is just one of those things that sheriff offers. And we said, we'll take you up on it, definitely have them come out here and talk to us.
Yeah, Sarah's great.
We'll televise it and put it on
our streaming. That was going to be my question.
So people can watch it. And believe it or not, people all watch that stuff. Yeah. So I don't watch it after the first time. But
what percentage of Villa Park's community are over 65?
Our average age is 60 in the community.
Is what?
60.
Is it coming down a little?
You know, it's going up. It's slightly.
That's what I've read.
It was 59 on the last census and 60.
Thank you. That helps.
So, anyway, it's we have a very strong population, but those people don't come out. the older people typically aren't out. So,
you know, getting a hold of them, getting in touch with them, getting them to look at something is difficult.
But they do watch the Villa Park TV.
They watch it, yeah.
They do. Mm-hmm. They'll call me and say, how come it's not on yet? The council meeting's not up yet. Because it's Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. We haven't gotten that up yet. But anyway, so I just, this again, if you put it on your social media or you put it on with Neighborhood Watch Wayne, it's going to be on our feeder. We put it out there. I just encourage you to get it out there wherever you can.
All right, anyone else have anything else on crime prevention? Traffic enforcement, we kind of already did. Unless you got something else. I didn't already get it.
No, sir.
Anything else we remember? Items, open discussion, which is kind of what we've been doing.
Yeah. Got nothing. Got nothing.
So I'm going to try and get the next meeting a little sooner so we can have a discussion here fairly quickly in the next couple months. I'd like to talk to the companies and get them out here and see what their schedules are.
Yes.
But I don't want this to be pushed out too far. Let's do it while it's fresh. And I want to talk to the other city managers because there is some impetus of doing larger purchases as opposed to onesie-twosies.
If there's economies of scale, then why not?
Yeah, so let me have a little bit of time. But in the next 2 months, I think we're going to have a meeting again. And
okay.
Do you mean like if Orange has them, jump on Oranges and have them put them
on? Well, yeah, I mean, not just Orange, but I mean, it's like there's a lot of cities that are sort of exploring this. This is not isolated at all. Mm-hmm. It's sort of becoming a big, hey, everyone's looking at it.
Yeah.
So a larger group is going to be better. I mean, the downside is a larger group, everyone wants to say so what you're doing, so it creates a bureaucracy. So we don't want that. I mean, the 800 megahertz, as you know, is a challenge at times because but we do want to get economies of scale. And companies will be more responsive to a larger bid than they will be a small bid.
Should we set a date in April then?
Yeah, let me get something there, but tentatively something like the first, Tuesday? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Something like the first Wednesday in April. Or something, okay. I'll confirm it with everybody, but that's a good idea.
I have another question. Is the northern part of the county receiving far more crime activity than the south county?
I don't know statistically. Anecdotally, you have different crimes and different types of crimes in different regions of the county.
Not all the same areas. Type of crime.
No. I know that, we discussed residential burglaries. A lot of our South County cities are really experiencing some issues with that.
I've read that too. That's what
Anaheim Hills area, Orange back here. Any of these areas where you have a lot of these green belts, horse trails, and stuff that these folks use to access the backside of your residence.
Do you know how many catalytic converters are getting swiped or no? Because I get phone calls obviously from people here.
Yeah.
And I have at least 4 or 5, and we don't have any of those, and I've asked them.
We're pretty low. We're pretty low.
We adopted, the city adopted an ordinance that said, if you're in possession of a
possession without proof of ownership,
then that is a violation of city code. Yeah. So we adopted that 6 months ago, a year ago?
Yeah, something like a little less, like 6 months ago.
So it's a crime that's just totally...
Those are catalytic converters. Catalytic converter.
Yeah, I mean, it's grand theft in many cases. It's beyond petty theft.
I'll think of it here in a second, his name. You've had two.
Billy?
No. See. I know the company CBR Builders, but I know.
Age. Chrysler Pearl.
Yeah, the one with CBR right over here. Oh. And get two. Well, one, and he caught the second.
He's with
CBR.
Carl Kreitzer? He's with a
company.
Yeah, I'll remember it.
Are we adjourned?
He said he'd call me. He said no. I said we'll report it.